Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello and welcome to the Scoutcast. It's a double game week. My name is Joe.
My name is Seb.
My name is Karam.
Welcome everyone. Seb, what is coming up on the show?
Well, that double game week we've been speaking about for a while finally actually appeared. So we'll talk about teams and players for that. But of course, there's a spanner in the works. Of course, there is this season. Manchester United and Liverpool had their match postponed. And there's a couple of permutations of how that could fall. I think, Joe, you're going to take us through that shortly. But we could end up with a good Liverpool double game week. Mm-hmm. Or a Man United non-blank. Either of those could be okay for planning. But with that aside as well, we also have some of your questions, specifically what to do with someone like Jesse Lingard. And we'll also look at the usual things such as fixtures, a differential, captains, transfers, and our scores from this week.
Indeed. So, well, let's move on to that. So, yeah, it's quite a week. There was a postponement, I understand, Manchester United, Liverpool. We've all been impacted. Everyone's impacted different ways. But, Karam, you had a great game week, 57 points. I'll leave you to read out your team for the benefit of our podcast listeners, and feel free to linger over a couple of midfielders there I've spotted.
Yeah, so I've got Martinez in goal, Dallas in defence, Dinia, who came in for Azpilicueta, Mitchell, who came in for Trent Alexander-Arnold, as a result of the postponing the match. I've got Lingard, of course, Jota. I had to deal with 10 men this game week, but nonetheless, I ended up with a great score. I think Son was a great pick, of course, for the Sheffield United game, came with 12 points. And my smoothest transfer of the season, and maybe for a long time, as long as I can remember, it's probably one of the best transfers I made. Bruno out for Gareth Bale.
Wow,
and that's 21 points right there, 21-0. Couldn't be any happier.
That's so good. Well, you could have been if you captained him, but you know, getting him is amazing. But you captained Kane, so you ended up with 12 plus 33, 37. So you ended up with 37 points just from three players.
Most of that score, I was like, oh, I wish I captained Bill. It's always that hindsight, but. I mean, in my tier, he was owned by 2.5%. So anything would have been nice, but 21, that was
unbelievable. What's the rank rise there?
So I rose 100k. I was looming around the 450k for quite some time, and now I'm sitting on 350k, which is still an average season.
You're gonna catch me. You're totally gonna catch me. You're gonna overtake me.
I was like still out of the question of 100k was like far away from me, and I still think I'm really far away from that, but at least like getting to slowly to a respectable rank in a really difficult season. So yeah, I hope the next few game weeks I can hit a couple of bales by the end of the season, so I can end up somewhere.
It's a game week that everyone dreams of. They wish you could have it every week. But to be honest, I'll just take one a season at the moment. But it's where you
I live for that, right? Yeah. I live for that moment.
It's not only getting 20 points more than the average, but it's just it's getting 20 points with a player that hardly anyone's got. So last week I had that with Chris Wood. Other people have had it with other players down the line. Some people this week would have had it with Antonio, but Bale was the one, really. I mean, it was a huge score, over 20 points, plus low ownership, and everyone Captain Kane instead. I can't, complain myself or anyone who says, oh, I wish I'd got Gareth Bale in now. You know, they weren't going to do it because Harry Kane was the obvious captain. You captained him, but getting him in, well done. Well played. That's a great
one. I must admit that where I was before that game week was a huge factor to that decision. I was doubting, like, okay, if I was in top 100K already or 50K and I want to play for, like, okay, something bigger, I would have probably gone for Bale because there is that question whether he will start, whether he will get me enough points. But because I didn't have any pressure where I was, it's like, okay, take Bruno out, I'm done with him, get Bale and see what happens. So it felt good at the end of the week.
I mean, some people get these towards the end of the season, can be unpredictable. They can get these every week. So here's some more of those as the season runs out. Here's my one in my beige upside chasing way. I've done well, but not as well. Quite good. I've got 44, a green arrow. I'm now just on the cusp of the top 100K. So with a 4 million, sub 4 million rank way back whenever it was, I consider this an achievement, even getting this far. But yeah, so I've got Mendy came in for me. Veltman, very pleased with the Brighton defence, as lots of people are, I imagine, who've got them. Alonso, 1 point, surprise 1 point, because he came off the bench. Joel Ward, I got him in as my Harry Kane enabler. I'm very pleased about Joel Ward because he looked like quite dangerous, and he's got a double game week coming up. So happy with Joel Ward and his 1 point. Son, 12 points, thank you. Salah didn't play. Lingard, 2 points. Fernandes didn't play. So I only had 9 players. Harry Kane, I captained. I brought him in for Vardy, so I'm not too bothered about that because Jamie Vardy blanked as well. Chris Wood, the mighty Chris Wood. 6 points, and Iheanacho 5 points, who would have been my captain. So getting Kane in has cost me 3 points, so I'm not too bothered about that. And of course it means I've got Joel Ward, and on my bench no one played. Forster, Jota and Shaw and Phillips, none of them played. But two exciting things happened from my boring bench. Nat Phillips was back in the lineup, although none of them actually made it out of their hotel to go to the match because it was postponed. But nevertheless, Nat Phillips, the genie's out of the bottle. Nat Phillips is fit, so this is good. Meanwhile, Hasenhüttl has come out and said that he is back to rotating his goalkeepers. McCarthy's had his go, and I can't believe it. I don't know whether Hasenhüttl is an FPL manager, because he said for the next two matches, he might as well have said in the double game week, Forster's going to play, and then I'll go back to McCarthy again, which is fun. So I thought I'm going to have to make a goalkeeper transfer to make some semblance of a bench boost for this double game week. But he's just saved me that move. So thank you.
We do appreciate some coaches like Tuchel and Hazard, who just says for FPL managers who's got a starting goal. That's brilliant. But all of a sudden, that bench became potentially very powerful for you.
The bench boost potentially is going to have Nat Phillips, the mighty Joel Ward, Chris Wood, and Fraser Forster. So there's doubles. You can take your pick either Lingard, Chris Wood, or Son. I don't know. I mean, some single game week is going to go on the bench somewhere. But I'm not going to do one of those bench thingamajigs I'm going to bench Salah and Fernandes and Kane. Look at my bench boost. I'm not going to do that. but anyway, let's move on. Seb, 38 points. So not bad considering you hardly had anyone playing. So who did you have and who didn't show up? And you made a transfer as well. So who came in and who came out?
Indeed. So I'll run you through the team. We've got Hugo Lloris in goal for 6 points. Luke Ayling with 0 points. Dean with 7 and Shaw did not play and did not get subbed out, which we'll get to. KDB, 0. Son, 12. Rafinha, 0. Gundogan, 0. And then Watkins, 8. He's been steadily putting in the numbers, which is all right. I'm pleased I've got him.
He's quite talented.
Bamford with I'm going to see what you did there. Bamford with his cursory 1. And Harry Kane, captain, with the 4 that I suspect most people got. I'm very disappointed you didn't captain Bale, Karen. That was the real upside move. That's what I want to see.
I need a little bit more of some courage. Maybe next time.
fair. Okay. And then I have Forster on the bench, who was my transfer, purely done before we knew he might play the double, purely done for funds for my free hit. So planning ahead for the free hit, I took Martinez out, brought in Forster, cheap playing-ish goalkeeper, gave me over $1 million to play with on the free hit. And then Pereira, Alexander-Arnold and Jota all on the bench as well, either not playing, actually all not playing, scoring 0 points, but all not playing. So I think, actually, even if the Man United-Liverpool match had gone ahead, I would have had some zeros in there, which has become cursory now for my team that's needed surgery for a little while.
Well, when I saw that it had been postponed, I looked at my team and I actually didn't think it was that much of an issue because they're so well-owned, those players. The likes of Fernandes and Salah, it just wouldn't make any difference. I looked at a live FPL and it had one of those emojis where someone shrugs, which means no matter what they do. And that was virtually all my players in that game were like, whatever. And so if anything, I might have lost out because I haven't got Alexander-Arnold. So he's like a bit of a miss.
Quite possibly. Luke Shaw and Alexander-Arnold would have been nice. Yeah. I note that Jota wasn't in the lineup, was he? I don't think. So maybe, obviously, maybe he would have come on, get a couple of points. But an interesting one to note for if they do have this double or whatever, is he due a rest? Has he had his rest?
And what's interesting is, will the next match, whoever Manchester United and Liverpool face next, will it be that same lineup with, say, Jota bench, with Cavani bench? Or was that completely, you would think, tailored for the Manchester United-Liverpool game, and that's the lineup that we'll see in Manchester United-Liverpool, in which case Jota could still be benched for the Liverpool-Manchester United game. But we don't know, really, because time marches on.
Yeah, I guess they've all had their rest in terms of days, but there's still the same number of matches. So if Jota was going to get a rest, you'd think he's still due for one at some point. And we've seen it, Mane, Salah, they've had some rest the last few weeks. We've seen their rotation.
Yeah, definitely. What we'll do is, with rough, with a smooth, look, there was a lot of roughs. I've seen a lot around, and I'm not going to dwell on it, because if everyone's had a rough, they've not keen on it. They've seen a few sub 20 point scores knocking around, and that's just no fault. It's just the way it is, you know. Players can't get on the pitch, can't leave the hotel. Then
what was that snow day we had? Was it 3-4 even more years ago now? Well, there was a weekend where just there was like two matches because everything was snowed in, wasn't it?
You prime me there because I magically had Aguero and Tim Cahill.
Tim Cahill, it was a while ago.
I think it was the Everton City game. No, it was Tevez. Yeah. I think it was the City Everton game. But anyway, it was a game in which I captained Tevez, who did really well and got like 30 or 40 points. And then I think Tim Cahill got something and no one else played. So basically, if you had Tevez and Cahill, it was like huge green arrow. And if you didn't, then you either grey arrow or nothing. So
that must have been quite a nice platform as well, because the rest of those games were happening again at another point.
Yeah,
it almost feels like getting some free points and then being able to set up for that future week.
I think one of my favourites, I mean, talking reminiscing-a-thon here, going, but one of my favourites was when Arsenal and Bolton was postponed. And then Arsenal and Bolton, I think, played each other twice in the double game week, or rather maybe the week before and then again. So I was well stocked up on Bolton and Arsenal players. And this was when Gary Cahill was with Bolton and was a goal-scoring machine at the back. And that's when Arsenal were amazing as well. And I think Matty Taylor played as well. I mean, it was an FPL point bonanza all through those postponements. So, you know, never know. It can be a bit of a blessing in disguise for FPL managers. Talking of blessings in disguise, with the rough, with the smooth. So I said we're not going to look at any rough. So we'll look at one smooth here. So this is a guy that I think has possibly given up, and I'm hoping that he comes back because he's got two top 10K finishes under his belt in his career. He's called Sean Lee. He's languishing in the top 2 million at the moment, so I think he's around the 2 million mark. But what a week he has. Let's put his team up here Okay, feast your eyes on this. So getting a good game week when everyone else around you's had a bad game week is amazing feeling. So this guy's got 89 points this week, and he's going to remember this for years to come. He's a game week rank of 5K. I mean, that happens once every two or three seasons, I would say. You get like the, you know, a huge rank like that. And it just couldn't have gone any better for him. McCarthy, 5 points. Alioski, 1 point. Cresswell, 2 points. Target, 2 points. Stroik, 1 point. And then Gareth Bale, we're talking about captaining Gareth Bale. We captained him, 42 points. Suchek, and he had Aubameyang.
Wow.
Back from malaria for 12 points. Bamford, Watkins, and then Antonio, not a hint that he was going to start, 13 points. He had a full set of 11 players, 89 points in a week. Wow. Where the average was 39. He literally went up 50 points over wherever he was. He hasn't made a transfer since game week 29, so technically a dead team. But he has the pedigree in him. And so I hope if he's watching or listening, you know, this might spur him on to just make some moves and just see what happens. If anything, he's had the game week that you can only dream of in a season. You know, 5K game week is absolutely huge. Wow. And it's game-changing wherever you are. So, yeah, well done, Sean. Okay, double game week strategy. Okay, so there's been some changes. What pitch am I going to put up here? Double game week strategy. Here we go. This is what we know so far. So at the moment, Liverpool and Manchester United, we don't know quite yet what's going to happen. So I'll go through what we do know. So what I've got here is I've got the fixtures on the screen. And then I've also got sorted by fixture difficulty. And sorted by fixture difficulty, you see Crystal Palace atop in game week 35. Sheffield United and Southampton. Southampton have Liverpool and Crystal Palace. But then and Arsenal have West Brom and Chelsea, Leicester, Newcastle, Manchester United, and so on. And that's have a look on Fantasy Football Scout to read more of that. With single game weekers, you've got Newcastle, West Ham, West Brom, and indeed City have not got the best fixtures at all. But what is going to be interesting, because as people will know, Manchester United Liverpool did not happen. There was a fans protest. That match is likely to mean, this is likely and a possibility, I'll even add in, that Liverpool's West Brom fixture, which is in game week 36, will move to game week 35, allowing Liverpool to then play Manchester United in game week 36. That scenario, if that happens, will give Liverpool an awesome double game week and propel the likes of Salah and Alexander-Arnold to captaincy status. Because that means they will have Southampton and West Brom, two of the most obliging defences there are. Good news for Manchester United as well. We know they have a double, but everyone's thinking, well, I'm not sure. I might sell Fernandes. I might not load up on them because they blank in game week 36. No more. They play in game week 36. And we've had a hint of their lineup as well. So feel free. The likes of Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, Greenwood even, give them a go. Meanwhile, there is another possibility. And this is, so get this, bear with me. The other possibility is that West Brom-Liverpool game remains where it is in game week 36. And Liverpool then double in 36 with West Brom and Manchester United. Either way, either scenario, Liverpool are getting a double game week. Will it be in 35? Will it be in 36? We don't know yet. So it'd be either one of those two. And Manchester United will have a double in 35 and they definitely will play in 36. So at the end of all of that, load up on Liverpool and Manchester United because they've got lots of fixtures coming up and the double game weeks look potentially quite lucrative. So we've had some questions from the community about this, particularly around chips as well. So some people have got some chips left, but nevertheless, it's quite a good exercise really for those that don't have any chips left to see how they're going to be faring. My immediate thought is if you don't have any chips left, this is good news for you because you don't have to suddenly navigate the fact that you've got Manchester United players in your double game week blank. They don't. You can keep them and play them. Liverpool, if you've got Liverpool assets, you don't have to think, well, do I get rid of them because they've got a single game week? Well, they don't. They've got a double game week, 35 or 36. So, looking at the community questions, Luke asked, he just wanted to know your thoughts on a free hit chip strategy for the season running. So potentially some people are going to play it in game week 36, but now game week 35 could be more lucrative. And Shirtless asked, fellow bench boosters, what are your plans? I have McCarthy, Mora, Lucas Mora and Stroik, who I'm not keen on. All rotation risks. Shall I take hits for double game week options? So forget the players. I mean, this might be, other people might be in the same situation of X player, Y player, not nailed on. Is it worth taking a hit for the double game week? So I'll go first because I'm quicker than you two because you two have got your free hit left. So I'm a bench booster. I have a bench boost left. And those that listen and watch regularly know I'm not keen on the bench boost. I definitely wasn't keen with Fraser Forster, but now I am. So what this change has done is meant that I have a pretty much a bench now. Nat Phillips has got a double game week, so I might as well keep him. I got Joel Ward in for it. So look at those kind of players. If you've got a bench boost, look at those cheap enablers. Palace, Guita in goal. If you're without a goalkeeper, Guita's quite a good pick. Everton defence, Seamus Coleman, Pickford even. You know, there's some bargains to be had in defence who are handy for a bench boost. I wouldn't say, ooh, play them every week in an 11. But for a bench boost, they could be quite handy. So for me, this potential postponement has helped me a bit. So I'll probably be bench boosting with Forster, Phillips, Joel Ward and Chris Wood. So I'm quite pleased with that. I'll probably only get like 4 points out of all of them. But nevertheless, there is the potential for a 16-point bench boost, which is the minimum really you want. Moving over to you two. So we'll go with you, Karen, first. You've got a free hit to play. So strategy-wise, before we talk, you know, depth about the players, strategy-wise, are you going to free hit 35? Were you going to free hit before 35? Has it changed your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I still have the free hit. It's the only chip I have this season. And I activated it as soon as the game week page refreshed. So I was very much determined that I will do it regardless of whatever happened during the last weekend. A clear reason for that is that basically I found out my team is well set up for, or reasonably well set up for the game week 36, the blank. I don't have many players who are blanking in 36, so I can field 10 to even 11 players with a free transfer I will get back. And I thought I don't have a lot of doublers in 35, and some of the ones I have who have a double, I don't want them. So basically, I decided to activate it now, and I get my team back in 36, and I can use the last three free transfers to navigate the rest of the fixtures this season. The news of the postponements that you explained it as much as we have an info now will be a factor to the decision I will make, because if Liverpool gets a double in 35, then it makes sense to load up on Liverpool. But if they don't, then I have to look for some assets elsewhere. I might have some coverage still, because I think the Liverpool-Southampton game is still decent enough to have at least one of the midfielders in my free hit team. But if they get a double of potentially West Brom and Southampton, that's a triple up in there. And in my free hit, I will try and get some exciting players that I don't want them afterwards. They perfectly lie in a free hit punts, and then see what happens. I hope I'll be fine by the end of that game with 36 and beyond.
So in essence, having the free hit now, just for those thinking, I might free hit later, 35, yeah. Should I do it? I think what it enables, because there's so many teams involved, even without Liverpool involved, you can, on Friday, because it's a Friday deadline, as we can see on the screen, Leicester kick off with Newcastle at 8 o'clock. So on Friday, after all the team news has come in, you can cherry pick the best double game week players. You can go in with 11 double game weekers and you can get the best ones. And by the best ones, I mean the ones that aren't injured and the ones when looking at some of the tables we're going to be looking at will show that they have some strong points potential. So Yeah, it's great. It's I think if I had a free hit, this is the week to do it. I mean, I can't think of a better one because
yeah.
So
as a free hitter, I have a feeling about like the assets in general, because there is almost no team with the very best double game week you can get. The best team with the best fixtures on paper is Crystal Palace, but then if you want to target Zaha, who might have an injury, or a Guaita or Ward, who their defense are shipping a lot of chances. So having Liverpool in there will benefit some of the non-free hitters who own already Trent and Salah. But to me, for example, it sorts the captaincy, for example. I can go for a different triple up, maybe a Robertson or a Mane, just to look for some differential picks. So I think as a free hitter, I would prefer to have a Liverpool in a 35 double game week, but it's not in my hands, of course. So let's see how it goes between now and the next couple of days. And should be fun free hit.
And so for you, Seb, as well, you're free hitting in 35. Was that always the plan? And if so, you know, has the postponement and the Manchester United and Liverpool, has that sort of changed your thinking? Has that made you definitely want to free hit now?
I've hit the button, so definitely free hitting. Can't take that back. Originally, the plan was 33, I think it was, when City and Tottenham weren't playing. And as we saw in that week, I missed a load of players, quite a low score. So certainly using it this week, because I adjusted that with this double coming. And I think Karim's covered a lot of the thinking really nicely there. My team is set up decently enough relative to where I've been for the weeks around it. I'd argue the postponements probably made it a little bit easier for people not free hitting. But at the same time, it's offered us free hitters, you know, the same advantages we had before. Mm. We get to leave it late. We get to, in theory, pick the ideal 11. Mm. And then maybe quite nicely with Man United not blanking the week after, someone like Luke Shaw, someone like Fernandes, a lot of people have got, we can go back to them from our free hit. You know, easily we've got one more player. So quite nice, I think.
And I was just before we move on to the players, just mention anyone who's still got a wild card. If you still got a wild card, just use it. I don't know what you're doing, not using it. If you still got a wild card, this is a great week to wild card. Not just because of the reasons we mentioned about the free hit, but it means you know that Liverpool are going to double. So even better than a free hit. But you don't have to worry about, you know, moving out, moving around Liverpool players. Just get them in because you know they're going to double at some point.
I would argue eventually, on the... Oh, please, after you, Carl.
I don't know, or is it just a small note that even now, that Liverpool and Man United will have to play in 36, so they will not blank. So, yeah, absolutely. When you wild card, consider these two teams for the free, for the double game week 35, but also you will have a fixture in 36, which is a big plus now. Yeah. Go ahead, Seb. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, not at all. Cheers. I guess there's probably not many people left with more than one chip. Obviously, if you've got a triple captain or a bench boost, maybe this is the week rather than the wild card. Mm-hmm. If you've got a team that's somehow well set up for the double, fair enough. But like you said, you know, you haven't got long left to use the wild card. And the nice thing about 36 as well is, and we've mentioned this a few times, there's a little fixture shift, for example, Leeds and West Ham coming in, Leicester and Chelsea dropping out, as you can see on the, you've got the fixtures up there. You can see when we ring up the ticker later, they're quite low down. Mm-hmm. So you either plan for that now, or you could use that in 36 to move out of the team you had and into those last 3 or 4 weeks strongly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can put them on the bench. I mean, for the likes of, say, Koufal, Antonio even, not the greatest of fixture this week. Pretty good. I mean, West Ham against Everton, it's not too bad. But nevertheless, you can bench them. And then, hey, presto, came with 36 onwards. There you got them. Same with Leeds players, same applies. And also, just those who are holding Brighton players, I've got Veltman myself. I know I've seen Lewis Dunk and Sanchez. Their quite good run actually comes to an end this weekend. So we're about to enter the end of Brighton's good run. That's why they've been so handy in recent weeks, because they've had the fixtures to do it. So tougher fixtures on the horizon. What I'm going to do now is hand over to Seb, but before I do that, I'm going to put something up on screen, and so that's something we can draw on, and this will be the top 20 players by XGI, which is expected goal involvement, last four. This is all players, so it's dominated by double game week players, which is handy, but it's also got the likes of Kane, Wood, Antonio, KDB among the standout single game week options. But when people see this table here, they'll see the likes of Iheanacho, Salah, if he has a double game week, and Bruno Fernandes, Chelsea players figure prominently. So I'll put this up now and hand you over to Seb to talk about some of the players that are interesting, particularly on a free hit.
Cheers, Joe. So I'll kick off with a couple of questions we've had from the community on this subject. So Conrad asks, Everton defenders, yes or no? Simple question. How much can we trust Jota and Greenwood? Helen asks, is Watkins a good double game week option? Is DCL better? Who is the best goalie? On that first one, I have swapped back and forth between Watkins and DCL so much. They look, I mean, they're playing each other and they've just played each other. They look so similar. And then the goalie as well, I've got some stuff for you on that. And then lastly, Robin Lennon asks, if Liverpool moves, surely Man United and Liverpool defenders look like good picks. I'd argue they were decent anyway, possibly more attractive now. And I think it's fair to say we're probably assuming that Liverpool are going to double here, so we might go with that thinking as we talk about it. So I know you've got some stats on XGI there for outfield players. So to answer one of those questions and to look at non-outfield players, players that are very unlikely to be higher on XGI, the goalies.
Yeah.
Me and Karen were having a little chat about this beforehand. So we wonder if there's not really a standout goalkeeping option this week. I currently, my team, have Mendy, partly because Chelsea play twice, Chelsea have a good defence. That was an attractive and easy option. There is the chance Kepa plays. In fact, I think, was it last time we had this situation, Kepa did play one of them. So maybe not. And also, Karam pointed out that Mendy's XG prevented and his post-shot XG and the difference between goals conceded is actually relatively poor, which suggests that if he's going to concede shots, he might not make as many saves as you'd want. And considering one of those matches is City, possibly not ideal. So then we looked a little bit further, and top of that list is Crystal Palace, Guaita, who is possibly my preferred option at the moment. But he comes, I think, solidly bottom of that same table for
last
expected goals prevented. Yeah, absolutely. So we don't know if Crystal Palace's defence is that strong. We're more looking because it's Sheffield United and Southampton. We're hoping they don't concede too many shots. If they do, Guaita either is going to let it in or maybe not make the saves. But maybe with fixtures, I'm going with that. And it's worth noting that he was near the top of that same table last year. So either something's gone very wrong in his goalkeeping, or he just has a different type of defence in front of him. And then last, and I won't steal this too much from Karam because it was his shout, but he's been looking at Dean Henderson, who does appear quite high up in those tables, although with a small sample size. So Karam, over to you.
Oh, cheers, Seb. Yeah, I'm pretty much on those three goalkeepers for my free hit. The first moment I put in Guaita as my goalkeeper, I thought that, I totally get and understand the how bad the Palace defense is. And if you look at the stats, if you look at the biggest chances conceded, they are by margin the worst at the minute. But one of their games are against Sheffield United, who are not better offensively. And Southampton, if they are without Danny Ings, then they might fancy something. But as Sib said, Guaita featured as the very last in terms of expected goals prevented. For the season, he has a minus 10. And the next one after him is it has
so
minus 8.5.
Keeper would have so he cost them 10 goals. Is that
compared to average? He has let in 10 goals more than he would expect him to.
Yeah.
Could be down to great finishing, but we've played most of the season now, so there might be something up there.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at only the last six matches, which is a very small sample, I was chatting with Seb before the Scoutcast, and it seemed that indeed the last six is a small sample, but still you can see Guaita in there with a minus 2.5 in the last six matches. So I'm not very much keen on it. Brewster might get his first goal potentially against Palace. Who knows?
It'll never happen.
Probably never, yeah. It keeps me with the last option is Dean Henderson. Dean Henderson, however, from 9 starts and 145 minutes sub, he is top 3 goalkeepers in terms of XG prevented from the teams that are having a double game in 35. So I sorted out or the teams that are going to double in 35. Who are the best? Alisson with a plus 3, and then Dean Henderson with almost 1 goal, and then Pickford 0.6. So I'm not, with the games that Manchester United have, and even as a team, not only the goalkeeper, But as a team, they are still very strong defensively. At 5.2, for the same price of Mendy, you are potentially getting a better fixture. Man United playing one game against Leicester and the other one against Villa. So I can't rule out a clean sheet and some save points. So
I mean, I'm not on a free hit, so I don't have the sort of the luxury to move goalkeepers around as much. But Dean Henderson would be someone that would appeal to me a lot. We saw what he did with Sheffield United, you know, kept them up.
He's a goalkeeper as well.
But but I look at that David De Gea and I just think, you know, will he play both those fixtures? I assume so, but I don't know. And that's the element of doubt. Will I actually get a single game week goalkeeper there?
I think featuring in the last 9 Premier League matches in a row is a strong indication that Dean Henderson will play the Premier League. And De Gea, I think he kept his place for the European Europa League.
He does, yeah.
So I think that will continue, especially that Man United pretty much locked in their qualification to the final, bar any big massive results from Roma. So I have a feeling that he is safe for the time being. He is tempting me now. Okay. I have that budget for a 5.2 goalkeeper. It's going to be between these three, I think.
No, I think you're right, because I mean, just going back to those fixtures. I mean, I've got Mendy, and I think Mendy would be a good choice. But then look at the fixtures. They played Man City and Arsenal, so I would expect possibly a clean sheet against Arsenal. It's a possibility, but against Man City, I don't know. I really don't think so. And as you were saying, I mean, he's not a save machine, and in fact, he costs some goals. Guita's the same. Great fixtures, but he costs some goals.
I think it's an interesting one. You can make arguments either way for quite a lot of the teams there. Like Mendy, Chelsea have kept out both those teams they're playing, but if they don't, Mendy probably doesn't get you the points. Yeah. Looking, I mean, like we say, Crystal Palace got the fixtures, maybe not the goalkeeper. There was a question about Leno in the chat for Arsenal. We're not sure he'll play both, a bit like some of the other goalkeepers that we've looked at. Everton and Leicester. Leicester have got Man United, Everton, West Ham, Aston Villa. Leicester's other matches, Newcastle, sorry. But I think I can get defenders from those teams who will do me well. So if I want to access that defence, I'd like the defenders. Southampton, maybe. You were mentioning Fraser Forster earlier. If we think he is nailed with these two, maybe that's a little bit of a look. Well, but the interesting thing for me is there isn't that perfect pick. So what I might end up doing is picking my defence and then going with the goalkeeper that I've kind of left one out, if you know what I mean.
Just in the chat, Jack Barwell points out to me, remember that I will need to make a goalkeeper transfer because I do have Fraser Forster, who has been said will not play in game week 36. So he's play the double, but not game week 36. And Mendy, who's got a blank anyway at Chelsea. So I do need to make a goal. I am aware of that, and I have factored that in. And I've only got at the moment one player blanking, apart from, well, by game week 36, I'll only have Iheanacho and Mendy. So I had plans to bench Iheanacho and transfer out Mendy that week, or play stick goalie and just go in with 10 outfield players. I don't mind doing that either.
Looking at the fixtures, if that is where you decided to put your transfer, maybe you want, I guess, someone who obviously plays.
You're about
to
say Meslier, aren't you? You're going to go Meslier.
I actually wasn't, but I genuinely think he's a decent shout. But if you can get a double this week, no blank and decent fixtures, that's probably the ideal for you. Maybe a Jordan Pickford.
Yeah, he was actually on my shopping list. If Fraser Foster was not going to play, I mean, Hasenhüttl has said he's playing the next both games in the double. Pickford was my pick there, so to speak. But what I'm thinking of is either playing with no goalie. I mean, I've done all right this week with just 9 players, so I don't mind that. And a goalkeeper can maybe just get 2 points anyway. So what I'm looking for is I'll probably look for indeed Pickford. Meslier is another one I'm looking at, or Fabianski. I'm just looking at good goalkeepers in teams with good fixtures towards the end, because they're just going to stick. And Fraser Forster will just be there. Another option is McCarthy, and just go fully Southampton. And I've got McCarthy and Forster, which is old school, perfect. Get the 4 million guy who's the backup to the other guy. So that's another option there.
I don't hate that.
No, I know.
No.
I feel like you shouldn't, but I don't hate it.
No, I know. But yeah, I probably won't. Let's see what happens there. Hey, I've got some going on to Manchester United. You talk about Henderson here. So I'll put up some stats for Manchester United. because they are a handy side now, because they double. If Salah and Liverpool don't have a double game week, Fernandes will probably be the most captained. He's the standout pick there. But also, I think a lot of their other picks are worth considering as well for the free hit. But also, people like me don't have a free hit, so you're getting them in and they play in 36. I mean, Mason Greenwood's top in goal attempts, 16. Fernandes at 14. He was on my goal and assist imminent tables last week, and then came Roma and came to fruition. And that's the sort of Bruno Fernandes that we want to see, the ones who's getting a lot of goals, a lot of assists. Rashford, Pogba, all good options. And this is the player I'm after, Harry Maguire. He's the perfect beige upside chasing player. He's going to play. He's had 4 goal attempts, not bad for a defender. He's cheap, he's nailed on, got a double game week and plays in 36. And it's a slight differential for me because I have Luke Shaw. You've just been talking about how amazing Dean Henderson is and the Manchester United defence. I think doubling up on a Manchester United defence becomes a differential. You're turning a shield into a nice sword there. So that's what I'm thinking. Cavani and Wan-Bissaka are the options there. But I'll just put those up there. Manchester United. So who on your free hits? Who shall I put your free hit teams up actually as you speak? So go with you first, Karen. This is your free hit team. And I'm just seeing if Manchester United figure on that, considering they... we can see there. So you've got Luke Shaw and Fernandes there. So do you want to take us through your free hit team and then also, you know, mention those Liverpool and Manchester United assets as well?
Yeah. So I'm not sure which team you put in, Joe. The one that has Rashford, right?
Before we came on air, obviously, there's a lot of... you know, permutations for us to get our head round quickly. So we've sent lots of pictures. This is the one with Salah, Fernandes and Mane. So yeah, far away.
Yeah, so this team, just a disclaimer, this team is a proposal if Liverpool gets a double game with 35. So basically, currently in goal, I have Mendy and Forster. I think I would play Mendy. It's just nice to have two playing goalkeepers in that game week. Mm. As we discussed thoroughly about the goalkeepers, it's still a decision to make on that spot. But for now, it's Mendy there. And then a back line of Shaw, the most creative player defender in the last few game weeks. Castagna, I still think... The Newcastle game especially is very strong for Leicester in general, and the potential for some clean sheet or attacking returns is there. The thing with Castagna, the thing I like and dislike about Castagna is I like him in the first 60-65 minutes, but then I dislike him for the rest of the game because when Albrighton comes in and plays on the right, then Castagna goes to the left, and every potential he can get from a fantasy perspective goes away after that hour because he's much, much stronger on the right side, but he's still a very decent option. Luca Dean, I hesitated. There was a question about the Everton assets, so nice to cover to cover it there. Until last game week, I always thought that I picked the wrong Everton guy, and Holgate is just good enough because Dinia was really far away from the BBS. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure the new system of made him make less crosses, being less attacking. I'm not sure about that because whenever even like you see contributions or Everton keeps a clean sheet, it's always that Godfrey or Holgate are dominating the BBS. But then a rare 7-pointer, a rare assist and 3 BBS against Villa made me reconsider and say, okay, if I am on the free hit, I might just keep him. And he's still owned by less than 10%, which is amazing. If you look at the community bubble, he's much more owned in that community. And then Trent Alexander-Arnold, so I'm going for a 4-4-2 in this formation, and I will assuming that Trent is gonna play 2 games. And in midfield, I've gone for Fernandes. I put him back on a free hit. I'm not planning to have him afterwards unless he explodes or he forces me to do so. But oh yeah, unless he plays Roma. Salah, who's probably gonna be my captain, or Mane. I think Liverpool got to be the captains for me in this game week. still, if Liverpool gets a double. And I like the idea of growing Mane and Salah, because we've seen in the team sheet against Man United, Jota was benched, was dropped, was rested. I don't know. And it makes me question whether he will get two starts. I have a double game week asset for 1 week. I like him. And Zaha, who is taking the fourth spot. And that Zaha spot can be, if he's a major doubt or he's going to not play the first game of the game week, of the double game week, then it might be Madison and I have to change a couple of things. Or I still have two assets. I sold Vardy on this draft. So I have a Madison, a spot for Madison. I have a Pereira, Matheus Pereira, even though he has a single game week. So it can be several options. Maybe a Mason Mount, a double game week player, could be there. So that spot is still open. But for now, it's a Zaha. And then up front, it's really Iheanacho, who's picking himself, and Calvert-Lewin. And I'm still undecided on taking Calvert-Lewin or Watkins into the double game week. But to me, for now, Calvert-Lewin is considered as one of the best captain options. So it makes sense to have him in my team as well for that double game week. But Watkins is pushing as well. Sure.
I was going to say, if you don't play Zaha and you've got Vidra, who presumably would be a bench option, could you go with both of them, Watkins and Calvert-Lewin, up front?
Because I'm going four at the back, I might not be able to do it, or just go for a 4-3-3, if that's what you mean. Yeah,
yeah, do Zaha. I'm assuming Vidra would be your bench option, so do Zaha to a bench option.
Yeah.
Maybe Eze, if you could afford it, for a good bench option.
I wonder
if you, because you don't have Kane, who I do. So I wonder if the way you solve that DCL Watkins problem is have both of them.
It's a good idea. It's another good proposal for that. If I go on a free hit, Watkins is still highly on. And if I want to go a bit maverick with Aston Villa, I will go El Ghazi instead at 5.2. It's not for the price. It's because what he offers. When he starts, he always offers lots of shots and is on penalties. So when he scores, he also dominates the PBS because he's getting a lot of shots on target. He's good for the PBS system. So I might stick with a 4-4-2, but just go El Ghazi instead. But I need to know if Grealish is still out for the whole game.
He's out for the season. He's been chucked down to Dean Smith's well. He's not coming back.
To be fair, El Ghazi has 147 mins XGI for the season. Obviously, you need him to play, but that puts him ahead of Sterling, Mane, just behind Bale, De Bruyne, Fernandes. Decent. So, yeah, I mean, if you actually get minutes out of him, not bad, but the minutes is the important bit.
Shall I say what I like and then what I dislike about this? How about that? What I really like...
Bring it on.
About the team or just about Karim in general?
About the team. Salah and Mane together, love it. And a 4-3-3, love it as well. It's really different because it's something that free hitters can do that players like me can't do. I wouldn't have Salah and Mane for long term or even short term, but for 1 week, great. And we've seen they can be potent. And I think that's good if Liverpool have a double game week. What I don't like about it, though, is I think if I had a free hit, I would be a little bit more maverick. So I like the idea, and people go, Jay, you're such a dullard. You say you're being maverick, but you never would do. Well, I would do if I was on a free here, because it's an odd game week. And I think there are plenty of players. So put those XGI. So this is last four expected goal involvement players up here. See, you know, I think Arsenal have been overlooked here. If you look at here, the expected goal involvement of these players, and I think with a free hit, you can afford to take a bit of a gamble with a Martin.
On a Lacazette, for example.
I really like Lacazette.
The fifth.
I think he's been training today.
Fifth best player in terms of expected goal involvement is Martinelli, 4.9. Lacazette, if he's back, 8.4. We've seen how potent Aubameyang can be as well, 11.3.
Yeah.
I would also look at Chelsea. Now, I know they play City and Arsenal, but Havertz, Werner, Pulisic, Mount even. I think there's room for one or two of these players. I think I would have them in because, I mean, as we've seen with Havertz, if he's got a double game, he's going to play at least once. He could play twice. He could get minutes in one and full 90 in another. But I think there's quite a nice ceiling there. I'd like to see more sort of ceiling players, you know what I mean?
I like this narrative, I like this narrative. And there is always that, okay, if you're on a free hit, go for a Richarlison over a DCL. Mm. Go for, Mane over Jota, something like that. The thing is that those comparable picks, I did not see enough from them to justify that I need to go for them over that X player. So I didn't see Richarlison the whole season, more or less, to justify, I'm going to gamble on him over a DCL. I like much, much closer calls and give the hedge and also, to the other player. So,
and also some talisman as well. Pereira, West Brom. Yeah. So if they have got a double game week and one of them does involve Liverpool, but Liverpool defence is leaky. And I think Pereira will be one of those standouts that gets a double-digit haul. All it takes is a couple of penalties. And suddenly you're looking at perhaps 10, 15 points from him. He's only 5.5. I think I quite like to see him there. But I do like a lot of it. I really like that narrative of that getting Mane and Salah as well. But I was just thinking, with your team, now I know you sent quite a few pictures in, but I'll put your team up again here. So let's say Liverpool haven't got a double game week. So your free hit, it's a free hit, so you're not going to be targeting Liverpool too much with just one fixture. Would you have any Liverpool? And who else, how would it change you? What dramatic changes would it make if Liverpool didn't have a double?
If I remember correctly, it will result in 3 to 4 changes only. So, but it also changes the formation. So I think I would not be able to afford a Henderson or a Mendy. I have to stick with Guaita from that plan, I think. It will result in only having Salah. I still like having Salah against Southampton. He's going to be the only single game week player if Liverpool don't get a double game week. And then I will have to go with a 3-4-3 with Salah, a single game week player. And it's going to be two spots remaining, two changes. It's going to be either Vardy and let me bring up the four, because I actually forgot it. So I think in one of the drafts I will have a Vardy and the other one I won't. So yeah, basically it has to be Vardy and Rashford instead of a Mane, and the funds will be distributed elsewhere.
Because I think a lot of listeners and viewers will think, I'm planning for Liverpool, but then if Liverpool don't have a double game week, I've got a pot of money suddenly. So where does that go? So for you, it would be the likes of Manchester United midfielders, Vardy as well.
That's exactly the way I want to simplify it, if I can. That instead of having a triple Liverpool, I will have a triple Man United and a triple Leicester. For the Liverpool draft, I will have in a couple of each. Maybe if I draw Dean Henderson, it will be a triple United. So that's the main change. I will keep Castagne, Dinia, and Shaw, Iheanacho, Calvert-Lewis is still in that draft, and Zaha is still there. But I still have a couple of options I need to assess if I need to squeeze them in, like a Watkins or El Ghazi, or just we discussed the differential, the Maverick picks. I'm still not confident about the Chelsea midfielders, but they are worth a mention.
Something like a Havertz or Mason.
I like Lacazette. I really like Lacazette. I really like him. I might have him over Vardy, even if Liverpool don't get a double game week. As an owner to Vardy from game week 26, I'm just done with him. So I like the Lacazette pick. Yeah.
The only thing with Lacazette is just off the top of my head, trying to think, have his better points recently become, when there is now Aubameyang, he's playing that number 9 role. Aubameyang could well go left, but I'm trying to think if maybe he could drop off a little bit, especially considering the fixtures aren't the best, given they're going to have more attacking options available, whether that's minutes or just simply his own threat. So I like him too, but I'd want to do a bit of research into that before I picked him.
Okay, well, Seb, let's put your team up. So do you want to got your team up here? This is your free hit team as it is. Do you want to go through those players and let us know your reasoning behind some of these players?
I'll read what I've sent you and then talk about some of the changes I've made. Okay. A lot in there you've both covered as well already.
Yeah.
You stole my Havertz thunder there, Joe.
No, well, that's good. No, you backed up.
It's good. We can talk around it still.
Differential, isn't it?
I mean, I made some changes even as we were talking here, but at the moment I have Mendy in goal, Alexander-Arnold, Shaw and Luka Dean at the back, Gareth Bale, Fernandez captain, Zaha and Havertz in the middle, Harry Kane, Iheanacho and Calvert-Lewin up front, with a bench of Forster, Smith-Rowe, Thomas and Holding. You can see there the bench has just gone for, you know, cheap and cheerful, quick and easy. The main theory with putting this team together so far, and obviously like everyone who is free hitting this week, is that this could change, you know, everywhere, right? You know, injuries, I could change my mind. I'll see some stats. I'll do some more research. You know, we're recording this on a Tuesday. Just had a game postponed. I've got the rest of the week to think about it. But my main theory so far was just grab those players that popped into my head, if you like. You know, I know who's doubling. Who do I think just could score some good points? Maybe I watched Havertz look like a ridiculously clinical number nine slash attacking midfielder and popped him in there without even looking at fixtures. The fixtures are tough, although I don't know if Arsenal's tough anymore. Is it mid-table in terms of underlying numbers? So, yeah, could do well there. And then someone like Harry Kane, I know you didn't have him, Karim, and to be fair, it's probably a really good way of getting some money. Mm. But I just saw Leeds, and I know, obviously, Leeds fans may be being a bit pessimistic. I know recently we've obviously pointed out that Leeds have improved before those three tough fixtures where we did okay. But I think people maybe have gone a little too far the other way now. So our numbers are firmly mid-table. It's not like we're the best defence in the league over the last little while. So I would be very tempted to hold one of Bale and Kane at least, especially with Bale's performance last weekend.
I mean, the Brighton game, which I managed to watch, and it was lovely to be able to watch a full game. I don't often get to do that during the afternoon. But it was lovely to do that. And obviously, as you know, as a Leeds fan, there's something about Brighton and Leeds. Brighton often...
Oh, it's your press. You're really tight.
They always have to. I mean, I remember years ago, you know, just Brighton always seemed to get the better of Leeds. I don't know why. But in this...
Too far south for us.
Crawley hammered Leeds as well. And they're in like League One and had a reality TV star in them. So yeah, maybe it is a south coast thing. But anyway, the point I make is that Danny Welbeck was great and Mapei...
That turn for the goal was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that turn was good. Mbappe I thought he was a great player in, as a sort of a Firmino, peak Firmino. He's running, getting the ball, retaining the ball, making the shrewd passing. He was doing everything apart from, but as soon as he got his goal, his shots were awful. But I suddenly, you know what occurred to me there? God, if Harry Kane played for Brighton. But if Harry Kane would have scored about five goals in that match because the service he was getting and Mbappe, there was one where it was so limp. It was the limpest leg movement I've ever seen. I'm not even going to call it a kick.
It happened in the first match as well. Those cutbacks from wide areas where you were able to probably outnumber us, I guess, off the ball. Those cutbacks where Mbappe really should have put some away. Exact same thing again. Just looking at the numbers here, you say Harry Kane would have scored about five in that match. Brighton have an XG of 48.97 for the season, but have actually scored, 35 goals. So a difference of 13.97. Well, Harry Kane pretty much hits his XG on the nose. I think he just exceeds it. He's probably far exceeded it this season, but historically. So realistically, Harry Kane scores 14 goals for Brighton there.
Maybe.
But over the season, I really think that is the thing. And I mean, looking at this table further, Brighton are the worst there, then Fulham, then Sheffield United, then Burnley. You know, that old adage of you need a striker down the bottom, it's a problem. That really comes true. Yeah. Interestingly, after that is Liverpool, although they're only on a difference of minus 2.58, so it starts getting quite small. 2.3 of those, I think it was, has come in the last six. So they're underperforming at the moment, which I guess you could read one of two ways. Either they're due, if you believe in that, or the way I'm tempted to read it, because I like Dean Henderson, is that if Henderson doesn't keep a clean sheet against Liverpool, if this match appears, there might be some saves there. Because what this is telling me is that their finishing quality isn't quite up to scratch at the moment. So maybe a few little saves there for a goalkeeper. So speaking of changes I was making to my team a moment ago, I currently have Dean Henderson in goal and no Mendy anymore.
Okay, so that's a big change there. Yeah, because I was looking at that team, I was thinking, Bale and Kane against Leeds. And I still maybe think that might be slight overkill, but having seen Leeds and dreaming of Brighton having Harry Kane up front, I can see why Harry Kane's. I just wonder whether Harry Kane is indeed fit. But I can see you've got to have Bale as the differential. Son would do the job as well.
You obviously asked about what Karen would do if Liverpool played twice or didn't play twice. I guess this is more the opposite, right? Because this is made before Liverpool maybe played twice. So the real easy thing is drop Kane, use that money for a Salah.
Yeah.
Depending on what I've got left, maybe there's a Lacazette there or another striker. I could do my DCL and Watkins, which I really want to do.
Go 3-5-2. So, yeah, Kane.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Kane and Smith Rowe out for Salah and God knows who, Brewster or something.
I like Martinelli, the chat shouted out, but his mins per XGI is phenomenal. Obviously, you need to get those mins, but he's just under 5 million. He could be a really nice bench or fifth, even fourth midfielder option. I quite like that, especially if we're not sure on Lacazette or Aubameyang, although obviously with them both back, he might not get the minutes. What are the... Oh, yeah, there's a change. Yeah. Oh, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, sorry, I just want to mention on the Martinelli, he's up there with Kane, Iheanacho and Salah in terms of expected goals involvement with a 3.12. And it's only players who are ahead of him. It's decent. Quite like him as a 4.9 now. So, yeah, maybe he's going to be a pick for one of the Maverick picks who are in a free hit teams, but that was before Aubameyang coming back from his illness. So which formation will he be used in, like as a winger, as a number 10? I'm not sure, but yeah, I like the pick.
I guess with the mins per XGI, even if he came off the bench, you might hope there's some points there. Realistically for me, he might end up sitting on the bench anyway, just on the off chance. You know, say Bale doesn't play, for example, maybe that's quite a nice little double game week sub to have. But I think what I'll be doing mostly before I settle on the final team is my three subs there. You can see are a little bit thrown together. You know, they're teams who play twice who have a cheap player. I'll probably refine that. So I've got Mitchell instead of Thomas at the moment. Holding still in there, but we'll see about that. And obviously Martinelli for Smith Rowe. If I lose Kane, there's a chance a few things get upgraded. And I mean, I've mentioned it a couple of times now, but I am tempted by Watkins at Calvert-Lewin. I think their numbers, if I recall over the season, are pretty similar. If they're fit, they play. They're both ticking over with points nicely. And the really quite nice thing, putting stats aside, was we got to watch them play each other literally the other night. Mm. And maybe I'm putting too much into this because I was watching it while looking at this team. And they were both having chances and scoring at both ends. And it was one of those where, well, do we think this will just happen again? Just pick them both, get a goal from both of them. They've both got another fixture. Easy.
You are less likely going to see a change in the way both teams will shape up against each other because the time is really short to practice on different things or the team has changed their mentality to something else. And the decision to include Calvert or potentially Watkins has to do with the game the other night because in a 2 weeks' time, it's really difficult to see something different than we just saw last week. So, yeah, I'm very tempted to include both of them and hoping for a fist of growth in that match.
I was just looking at the live chat. Dante asks, thoughts on a free hit draft? And then Jack Barwell chimes in. You're looking at one right now. And
I don't know what that says about my draft. You're like, when are we going to see the free hit? Though?
Yeah, so is this the team you're wildcarding into or away from?
Is that a template or what?
Considering what how it's gone since I wildcarded, that's not unfair.
Fernandez, captain there. So let's say Liverpool do have, if they do have a double game week, Salah, great choice. If they don't, who would you captain? So you've got Fernandes. Fernandes is my captain as well. Karim's thinking perhaps Fernandes, perhaps DCL elsewhere. Okay. So Seb, for you, if you didn't, I mean, who else is in the running? I see Iheanacho with the vice captain. Is Iheanacho sort of the strongest one apart from Fernandes or Calvert-Lewin?
Out of what I had there, quite possibly. But like I said, you know, I've thrown things together on instinct at the moment. We'll definitely refine it for sure. Fernandes is, I mean, we've talked about it, I think, a couple of weeks in a row. And then, I mean, brilliantly, he went and got, what would it have been, about 21, 22 points in Europe rather than in the league the other night, but just after we mentioned it, which is kind of fun. I feel like while he's not been as attractive in FPL recently because the output hasn't been there, the numbers kind of haven't gone away and he hasn't had penalties, which is what normally just elevates him that little bit. So yeah, sure, it might be a bit safe and boring, but for my captain, I am very happy to be led by numbers and fixtures. So if he comes out top, I'll happily give it to him. At the moment, I think he possibly does, unless, of course, you get a Salah or someone.
Okay, well, before I was just going to say, before we move on to some other questions that we've got, sort of looking at the season running, I've got a couple more tables to put up. The one I put up on our captaincy video earlier today about worst defences. And this highlights just how bad Crystal Palace defence are. But nevertheless, they do have great fixtures and they are against two very weak attacks. So I think a Crystal Palace enabler is perfectly fine. Joel Ward, Guita, I think all of these are okay if you need the money. But if you could look elsewhere, do. I've got Joel Ward because I needed the money. What this also shows is how bad Newcastle defence is. So that also elevates Leicester into our thinking, particularly with the captaincy. But then you look down the table, Manchester United and Leicester, two of the best defences. So that's looking like a 0-0, or it's not looking high scoring, put it that way. So that means as a captain option, perhaps Iheanacho might not be the best option. So some people might go there. And then you're looking at Calvert-Lewin, Watkins, and they're tough to call, the Everton-Villa game. Their matches, I think, are tough to call. But then the other thing that this shows, looking at the defences, right down at the bottom of this table, so technically the best, the top of our thinking, the Chelsea defence, just one big chance conceded in the last four matches. Goals conceded, just one. And their XG barely won. Arsenal as well. So if we can nail down an Arsenal defender, I think they could be quite good. And then Man City are there showing how tough they are to get past. Brighton, obviously, XG champions. And then, as I said, Leicester, Manchester United and Liverpool. So, you know, these are the good defences to target there. Also shows there, if Liverpool do have a double game week, they're playing two of the worst defences in Southampton. 12 big chances conceded last four. Sheffield United, 10 big chances conceded last four. So that proves that, you know, they are by far the best option for the captaincy, I would say, if they are have a double.
Yeah. To add to that as well, Joe, just looking at, again, the differences between expected goals conceded and actual goals conceded. Southampton are the worst for the season, just followed by Brighton, of course, because otherwise they would win the league. Mm. And they're also the worst in the last six. So talking about Southampton goalkeepers earlier, if you're hoping that, okay, their defence is bad, but I'll pick a goalkeeper because saves, that potentially isn't happening.
No, I know. And I've got another table here. Last one here is attacking defenders. And I think this is quite interesting here for those free hitting or just thinking of transfers or happy with their team. They've got, if you've got Luke Shaw, be very happy. 14 chances created, no assists there. He is due. 19 corners. Alexander Arnold just behind him, you know, he also ran. It's 2 million difference there. So if you get Shaw and Alexander Arnold, I would say are the two definites there. And I think a Robertson Alexander Arnold double up. It's quite a shrewd move, I think, considering the defences they're playing. And also, Robertson's had 9 chances created, 10 corners he's taken. I think
the only thing with that one is I've got, I guess, Dean in that slot.
Yeah.
Just for a little bit cheaper. But the Alexander Arnold, I'm sure, yeah. I really like, and I would be tempted to say, even if they had a single, as you can see there quite clearly.
Yeah.
They are just nailed on clean sheets, hopefully clean sheets and chances created.
Further down the list, Castagna, as Karen pointed out, if he's on the right, great. If he's on the left, oh no. And then Seamus Coleman, who I was very tempted to bring in, and I still am. He is, so I've got Marcus Alonso. I don't want Marcus Alonso, even though he has a double, but will he? Probably not. Harry Maguire is top of my list. But also Seamus Coleman, if I want to save a tiny bit of money, because he's created 7 chances. He's better than Luca Dean in terms of points potential. But is he better than Luca Dean in terms of minutes potential? And that's the thing. Will he actually get a double? Looking further ahead, and I think we're going to come to this in a sec when Karen goes through some of the other questions. Koufal there is also very high up in terms of attacking defenders.
And Cresswell.
And Cresswell is very high up there. So West Ham, very important team. There, I think, you know, I think it's just underlined some of the players you consider getting in for a free hit there. You know, I hope that's given some thoughts. So, Karen,
I just wanted to shout out one more because we had the question and a couple of people mentioned it in the chat. Mason Greenwood, just looking at his numbers for the last six, his numbers for the season aren't as good, but we know he's really only come into it recently. He's got 3.06 XGI in the last six, which is just behind Martinelli, who's your cheaper but maybe fewer minutes option. For comparison, Bruno Fernandes is on 4.4, but it's not too bad. Havertz is on 3.6. Yeah. So if you aren't, say, doubling up in defence with Man United and have got Bruno Fernandes, maybe there's an option there. Although maybe he feels slightly awkwardly priced, you know, where you can't quite bench him or have him as a fifth or fourth mid, but he isn't going to take your Fernandes slot.
The figures I've got up on the screen are the last four, but they tell the same story. Mason Greenwood and Bruno Fernandes, they're your guys. if you're looking defenders, Luke Shaw, Maguire, they're your guys.
Thank you for letting me interrupt you there.
That's right. Let's move on to some other questions. And I'll put a picture of Antonio up, looking rather happy, rather pleased with himself. So, Karen, I've called this other issues, but we did have two or three other questions, really. So if we can tackle them.
Yeah, of course. Although most of the scoutcasts will be dominated by the double game week teams, we have some questions already about some other teams. And Jules is asking, what is the best three players for the season running after the double game week? Another question about Jesse Lingard. Is Lingard out a harsh decision or it's a necessity? Tony is asking, is it time to bring Antonio back in? Mm-hmm. And we've seen he's back with a band drawn. So
I just want to clarify that. Jules's question there, I missed out a vital word there. It's the best three attackers for the season.
Attackers.
So obviously Antonio, I guess, is in her thoughts as well there.
Yeah. Most of the questions are about West Ham, who will have a decent run in for after the double game week, and we are currently invested in some defense and Lingard in particular. So let's start with you, Seb. If you have Lingard, would you consider selling him, or you would keep him?
I guess that's a tough one, because if you don't own him already, does it feel a bit like, you know, buying the top, as it were? You know, you're buying him now on the downtrend. His numbers have tailed off a little bit, although they're still all right. 2.27 in the last six for XGI, which is down with your Jack Harrison, although your Aubameyang as well. So not terrible. He's obviously overperformed that by about double, if not more, but we know that's what he's doing at the moment, so fair enough. The fixtures for the rest of the season, though, really do improve. So the two teams I really like, there's a few, but Leeds and West Ham, just on paper. I've mentioned that Leicester-Chelsea swap a few times. I think there's a nice, you know, couple of, you know, one-to-one swaps you can make as well. Chelsea midfielder for Lingard, for example, maybe, or a striker over to Antonio, who, if I'd known was fit, would have been in my team for Bamford a while ago, I think. But so when I say, you know, are you maybe buying the topper on the way down? His numbers are just about holding up. And, you know, he's looked very good recently, a little less good, say, in the last couple. But with improved fixtures with Antonio back, I'd be tempted to hold if you had him, maybe explore better options if you don't. But like I said, with that fixture swing, I don't know if there are better options. It's very easy to sort of go, oh, he did so well recently. Like, he absolutely exploded. And anything less than that now feels like, oh, I've got to sell him. But if he's still performing, you know, above what he's worth, he's still a good pick.
Okay. How about you? Joe, let's go for you.
Okay, well, I'll do a couple of things. One is, let's put up some stats, more stats. This is West Ham against Burnley. So this is what happened with Antonio back with Lingard as well playing. So what we have seen with Antonio was that Lingard did really well with him before. And then we thought, Lingard won't do well without him. And then he did do well. But then West Ham dropped off a bit. And I think Cresswell may have been the main reason behind that, because he starts a lot of the play. But anyway, these are the stats here. And it shows how potent Antonio is. Expected goal involvement, getting on for nearly two. Scored two goals. Shots inside the box, five. This is good. This is one match, by the way. Five shots inside the box, two on target. That's good. That's what you want to see for a player you're targeting. So going back to Jules's question about best three attackers, yes, Antonio is one of them. At the expense of Lingard, if I was wildcarding now, I wouldn't have Lingard. I would have Antonio, and I'd be looking at some other teams elsewhere. But if but I have Lingard, I don't think I'm going to get rid of him, because as Seb was saying, West Ham's fit, we'll come to it shortly, the next four fixtures. The West Ham's fixtures are so good, I think it's worth doubling up and giving it a go. But nevertheless, in this very small sample, West Ham against Burnley, Antonio, huge potent threat. Ben Rama was the guy who is doing what we hoped Jesse Lingard was doing. Created five chances, five crosses, four goal attempts, two shots inside the box. This is good stuff. Meanwhile, Lingard, right at the bottom, one chance created, one shot, expected goal involvement, a 17th of a goal. What's that? I mean, a couple of stitches on a football. I don't know what that is.
That's enough for him to score two goals on recent form.
Well, that's, yeah, but Antonio scored two and he got the expected goal involvement to show that. As I said, this is a really small sample. But what this also shows is Koufal there with 10 crosses and two chances created, 4.7 defender. He is probably my, I'm hoping I've got a transfer left to get him in. And this is why I might go stick goalie in 36. I just think it's worth going for this guy because he's got the assist potential, there's clean sheets potential, and he's only 4.7. I think he's absolutely great. I'd even be tempted now to get him in. If I wasn't bench boosting for the double game week, I would consider getting him in. I think he's that good.
We know Antonio has those numbers and can do it against anyone. He scored against poorer sides, but he's just done it against Burnley. He scored two against City in each match this season, scored against Arsenal, I think Tottenham. I had a little look at Leeds and West Ham for an article for FS Scout last week, I think it was. And I don't have the complete answers to this, but looking at, you know, the similar small sample size that you were, they have rotated between three at the back and four at the back the last few weeks. Typically, it seems to be if Antonio is fit, they can play a single striker. Although David Moyes does seem to change it based on opposition. And also Cresswell comes in there too. But Cresswell has played both left back and left centre back, whereas Soufal will play right back or right wing back, of course. Cresswell on those set pieces really does help. Cresswell's numbers are better than Soufal's over the season, but he's more expensive. Interestingly, Cresswell just about keeps up his numbers, but he needs those set pieces. Soufal's numbers are almost identical, whether it be right back or right wing back. And as you see here, he had some great, great numbers. So if you need the cash, I'd definitely be tempted by him. Like you say, I think Antonio is a very easy pick. And then just looking at Lingard, you mentioned Ben Rama, who per minute has some excellent, excellent XGI numbers, but you need him to actually play. But looking at the heat map, again, just for that one match, so only a small sample size, but Antonio has a big red spot in the centre of the penalty area, as you would expect. And then he sort of drifts right, and he's got quite a lot deep on the right-hand side, which maybe makes sense coming back, looking to get the ball where he used to when he was a right winger. Lingard and Benrahma both favour the left-hand side, apart from a weird spot at right-back, which maybe was a formation change or something. Lingard has a lot on the left. Benrahma has fewer touches, but he actually has a bit more central than Lingard. So, and I don't have the answer to this, but it'd be worth looking into, with the 3-5-2 and with the 4-2-3-1, does Lingard's positioning change much? It looked like he was playing quite wide in either, but then coming inside. But if Benrahma starts, I wonder if he takes that number 10 slot and Lingard ends up with fewer touches in the area but more outside, which, I mean, there's a lot of extrapolation there, but it might indicate that if we can predict the lineup and predict the formation they'll play in, it'll push you towards who you should be picking out of that team, especially if you want to triple up.
I also think, going back to about the attackers, I also think with price points, as I often do with the game. And I think at the moment, we've only got four fixtures left, four game weeks left. I think the price point, I don't think you need to have such a breadth of price points. I think it's important to have an expensive one, like Kane, because he can go down to whoever you want. And the other two ones, I think there's so much choice in that 6 to 7 million or so price bracket. I would go for two of Antonio, Chris Wood, or Calvert-Lewin. They would be my main ones. And I think with the double, if you've got Watkins, great. He's also another good option. But I think in terms of the striker spots, I think Cavani as well could be another good option there. But I think there's so much choice. And I think you can easily hop on. Or say Calvert-Lewin gets injured, you got him. Brilliant. Well, not brilliant. Not brilliant for him. Fine for you if you're playing that price point there, because you can just move on to another one. So, for example, I've got Iheanacho at the moment. Leicester's fixtures turn. So Iheanacho to Antonio is a great move, I think. One I'm considering over getting a goalkeeper in game week 36 as well. So, I mean, I'm talking about all the things I'm considering. I can't make all these moves in 36, but these are you know, might chime with someone listening or watching.
You know, the more we look at this, Now, of course, I think free hitters will do better than wildcarders this week. But I don't hate the wild card this week because you can make those. Mm. So looking at this is using the projection tool on the Scout website in the members area. But looking at projected points for the end of the season for forwards, of course, Harry Kane is top, naturally. Mm. Then Calvert-Lewin, then Watkins, although maybe you'd want to take into account the fact that that could be waiting the double and not the fixtures to come. Bamford, Vardy, Adams, so on and so forth. I think Antonio would probably be up there as well if it were not thinking he was injured, I'm guessing. So like you say, Calvert-Lewin seems a pretty easy one. Watkins, maybe we discount because of fixtures, you know, decent this week. Harry Kane, easy enough. So Kane, Antonio, Calvert-Lewin looks pretty nice and also doesn't look terrible for this week. I don't hate the idea of using a wild card now to set yourself up nicely for those fixtures to come.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris Wood's going nowhere for me.
So, I promise you, Joe, I'll release him from the jail.
No, he's absolutely amazing.
Just a small note I have about this discussion. So it's an interesting one because here we are talking about two teams who are having a strong end of a season in Leeds and West Ham. And we know that Rafinha is a name who is missing out for the last few games due to an injury. But my impression is that he's really close from coming back. And here it comes the question, because the last three game weeks for both teams are really strong. I need some coverage from there. And if I am on a wild card, I will probably, assuming all the players are fit, I would probably prefer Rafinha over a Lingard, but Antonio over a Bamford.
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
So for me, I have Lingard, and I don't have Antonio. So game week 36, there is a chance that I might get Calvert-Lewin against Sheffield United because that's a prime fixture for the captains as well. But also Antonio looks good if you need just a one bye till the end of the season and hope that Antonio is not injured again. But then I need more coverage from Leeds. I do have Dallas, but I imagine many managers might not have some coverage from Leeds and they have a strong end. So Rafinha might be a preferable pick, at least in my opinion, over Lingard now, and replace that coverage by Antonio, because Antonio is just unstoppable when he's fit. So that's my view on it. And food for thoughts on this.
So let's put get Melia.
Well, no, I mean, let's put the next four fixtures up. And
seriously, they have... we have, if you discard Tottenham, we have probably three of the best, if not the best, last three fixtures.
Yeah.
And two of those teams as well appear very highly on that underperforming their XG, which at this stage of the season, I think it's fair to say that means they are poor at converting chances.
Mm. So with those next four fixtures there, Leeds, as you said, Tottenham, then they got Burnley, Southampton and West Brom. This is great. The last three fixtures in particular are absolutely great. From 36, 37, 38, great fixtures. Top of the tree is at the moment Crystal Palace. Hence Joe Ward in my team. Sheffield United, Southampton, they got Villa. And it turns a bit with Arsenal and Liverpool. But nevertheless, you know, factoring in the double game week overall last four. Liverpool, they haven't even factored in the double game week here, but they've already got Southampton, West Brom, Burnley, and Crystal Palace. It's great. Sea of blue there. Everton, Calvert-Lewin got West Ham and Villa in the double game week, but then Sheffield United and Wolves, and it takes a bit of a turn with Man City at the end, but you can probably, you know, cope with that. Southampton, good fixtures, you know, Liverpool, Crystal Palace, so Liverpool tough, but then they got Fulham and Leeds, and then West Ham at the end. And then, as you mentioned, Leeds there, Sheffield United, I'm just going to skip over. They've got great fixtures, by the way, but I don't know what we're going to get. We got a Championship side who's just having a go.
Even Ramsdale, who the one saving grace last year was Henderson.
Yeah.
Ramsdale, I just don't think is that great. No. The numbers back up that if they do concede shots, he lets them in. There's just nothing there, really.
So we've highlighted...
He featured the bottom of the list of the goalkeeper that we just discussed earlier on. Definitely. He was there.
So we've highlighted some of the teams to target for the season running, who coincidentally are also targets for the double game week. But then it's down the bottom. These are the players you want to be thinking of getting rid of. So Ian Acho, he's been lovely, hasn't he? But it's time to go, mate. You've had your fun. He's got Newcastle, then it's Manchester United, no fixture, then Chelsea and Tottenham. Goodbye. I will be moving him on. Brighton, Veltman's been great for me. Lewis Dunk's been great for others. Sanchez got Wolves next. clean sheet potential, but then West Ham, City and Arsenal. You never know. They can pull out a good performance here and there, but it's not a fixture run I wouldn't want to rely on. And you can see Chelsea, the fixtures turn as well. So I've got Alonso and Mendy. I think for free hitters, this is why Chelsea are great for free hitters. Just the odd punt here and there, Havertz. Alonso, I don't think he's going to get the minutes. And Mendy, as we said, is not, you know, he's going to blank in 36. So he's got City and Arsenal in the double. And then they don't get much better. They've got Leicester and then Villa at the end. So last hurrah, maybe, at the end. Wolves, I mean, we don't know what... That 4-0 drubbing by Burnley is just put everyone off, really. Can't be trusted. Newcastle have a terrible two fixtures. But get this, people. Callum Wilson, captaincy, game week 37 against Sheffield United. Could be the move there. St Maximin, differential captain, game week 37, Sheffield United. Then they play Fulham. So Newcastle against two down and out relegated sides, could be quite handy. Tottenham, they're still good, still great fixtures there. So I mean, this table here just sums up what both of you have been saying about players to get in, and especially for the double game week, really. So any thoughts, anyone?
I mean, it's a shame Man City are destroying my team and rotating so much in the Premier League, because they're decent too. I think Mahrez has scored one, possibly another so far tonight. He's looking amazing recently. De Bruyne's numbers are good, but obviously not really playing. So I think we can possibly put them aside. You could punt on a Ferran Torres or something, but I don't know if that's... No, that feels like a second-tier option. So we've called them out a load of times. Liverpool, great fixtures. Leeds, West Ham, North Sheffield United, Everton. I think there's some very easy swaps there from like our Chelsea and Leicester, as we've mentioned. Iheanacho to Antonio feels like the transfer pretty much everyone should be making. I might end up with Bamford, Kane and Antonio rather than DCL. But if I had to build a team now for the end of the season, it's probably going to have, say, Melier, Dallas and Rafinha. It's going to have Soufelle or Cresswell, probably Soufelle. Someone in the chat asked about replacing Fofana. I think Soufelle's a nice, easy one for that. And then obviously your Antonio up front. Everton, DCL, Tottenham, you've got Kane, maybe Bale. We can squeeze in there now, although we probably want Salah from Liverpool. I think there's quite a nice little selection to build almost an 11, again, go back to the wildcarders, that really focuses on those teams that have got great fixtures left, and maybe throw in a Fernandes there as well for fun or something.
Okay, and Cameron, it's your turn to pick a differential, so I don't know whether that shapes your thoughts the next four. So Flapjack and FPL Prince both packs... back Sigurdsson. We let Flapjack get away with that one. So they backed Sigurdsson recently. Karen, who was it you picked recently?
Iheanacho,
which is, I think our greatest scout cast differential pick all season, definitely. And I've just seen
who is 4.8% owned, so I won't say, but if you don't pick this pair,
Karim, who is the best low owned 5% or under gem for the next four matches? Who is it?
I think Seb has got him, unless there are too many players with 4.8%. I didn't have him at the beginning of the scoutcast, but as the video is going on, I thought, like, why not? Let's get him in, and it's Alexander Lacazette. If he is, he's back in the training, and I believe he is should be fit for Thursday. Nice double game week, maverick pick for those who are on free hit. I think they end the season with a couple of nice fixtures as well. And if you fancy someone at 8.4 million, 4.8% owned, who has West Brom, Chelsea, caveat to that they blank in 36. And then they end the season with the Crystal Palace and Brighton. So I just want to say like an Aguero, like a nostalgia pick, but this time I'll leave it to Lacazette. Maybe somebody else will pick Aguero.
Yeah. Was
that the one, Seb, that you had?
I was going to say Antonio.
Ooh.
He was also 4.8%.
Now you're kicking yourself.
I did not know Lacazette was 4.8.
I didn't like know Antonio was 4.8.
Okay.
The only thing that holds me back from Lacazette is when we were talking about maybe that change in how they're going to play. But to be fair, great shout. Got the double. So why wouldn't you go for someone doubling this week? Antonio, Everton, Brighton, West Brom, Southampton. So much of a muchness. Pick him next week and you end up with two great differentials.
Can we agree on a combo? Like, because both are 4.8%. You get Lacazette now and then you go Antonio.
Antonio Lacazette, his brother. No problem. Yeah. yeah, no, I think both great picks. Antonio, 4.8.
I will. Karen picked Iheanacho, so I will bow down to his differential.
Nah, it will not be as good as that.
I think Antonio will go on your record, Seb, there. So that will
nice
be
one.
Yeah,
used in evidence.
Cue an injury.
In your favour there. But yeah, Karam's got Lacazette there. Let's move on to our transfer and captaincy plan. So we've already seen your team, so we'll put those up in a sec as well. So here's my lot at the moment. So I've got Mendy, Shaw, Phillips, who may have a double game week. Alonso, he's the one that's going to go for me. He's going to be my transfer. I've got 5.9, I think, to spend. Fernandez, my captain, if Liverpool haven't got a double. Lingard, Salah, who will be my captain if Liverpool do have a double. Jota, Son, Kane, Iheanacho. And then with my bench boost, which I'm going to enact, I'll have Fraser Forster, who's going to play. Veltman, who's got Wolves. Joel Ward, who has Sheffield United and Southampton. And Chris Wood, who's just brilliant. So I'm happy with this. Is with in terms of bench boost for me, it's now or never, because Fraser Foster's definitely playing the next two, so I've got a bench boost goalkeeper. Veltman has got Wolves and then his fixtures turn, so this is Brighton defender now or never. Chris Woods is brilliant whenever, so that's fine, and Joel Ward's fine for this week because he's got a double game week. So it's not like I would bench boost a Crystal Palace player in a single game week. I would in a double game week. Any changes? If Liverpool haven't got a double game week, I don't think that's really going to alter me, apart from the captaincy to move to Salah, because Phillips has still got Southampton at home, so I'm still going to play him.
I guess you might end up with no Jota, maybe.
Jota could go, maybe. I don't know. But then if Liverpool don't have a double game week, they will the next week. So it's just a transfer I don't need to make, essentially. Alonso is going to move to either Maguire or Coleman, Seamus Coleman. I quite like the assist potential of Seamus Coleman, and I can't afford Luka Dean. I don't know if I want to spend that amount on Luka Dean, you know, for the season running. So that'll be the move I make there. It all depends on whether I want to think ahead a bit more, but I'm quite into playing the game week in front of me at the moment, but with a slight eye on the future. But I am thinking in my head Iheanacho to Antonio, and that may involve a hit, which would solve my goalkeeper problem as well. So I would spend 4 points, I think, possibly down the line, but I might not. So I'm a bit up in the air there. But yeah, looking at the game in front of me.
Can I ask about one pick that you have in your team? And I imagine it's going to be a question for many about Jorginho Jota.
Yeah.
So basically, when we saw the lineup at Man United, he was not starting. And that raised a couple of questions. Is it something like he is tactically not fit to play against Man United, and therefore should the game go to 36, you will not expect him to start as well against Man United, because that's how club prepared to play against them, or it's just a rotation and one of the Salah, Mane and Jota might get his turn by that time. So as an owner, would you still be keen to keep him until 36, or you will look somewhere else, assuming Liverpool gets a double and Man United gets 36.
Okay, yeah. So basically, Liverpool get a double game week 35, I'll keep Jota.
Makes sense.
Moving him to someone else if he then got a double game week 36, because bearing in mind Jota's one of those players where if he doesn't start, it doesn't bother me so much. He can score a brace in the last 20 minutes coming off the bench. He can be an impact sub. So that doesn't bother me as such with him. It's a question of if he has the double in 35, what would I do with him in 36? Because he's just playing Manchester United. And we know, because we've had a sneak preview of the team sheet, that Klopp's not too keen on playing Jota then. Then he could move. And then I could be looking, say, if Rafinha is fit, or looking to free up some funds. Maybe, I don't know. It's something, because I'm looking at the game week ahead of me. And so 36, I have options there, I think.
Could you do Jota to Rafinha and Alonso to Alexander-Arnold?
Oh, yeah, if I can.
I quite like that. I mean, whether they double or not, I don't know, because then you get Alexander-Arnold rather than Jota. I feel like Trent is missing from this team.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, you've got three Liverpool players. You don't want to break it too much. And that also then leaves you, you might have to take a minus four to do it optimally, but the Iheanacho to Antonio is then the next transfer. So I feel like that's a decent route.
So with my wild card a few weeks ago, I've been really pleased with it. There's lots of green arrows and gone right up the ranks. I had the likes of Chris Wood and etc.
Oh, it's pushed you to close to 100k
bit,
or something.
But the bad bit is exactly what you said there. The Alexander-Arnold was a glaring omission there because he has remained a player I always want every game week. So yes, I would move Jota and someone else to get Alexander-Arnold in for the duration and just leave it at that. Yes, I think that's worth of a hit. I think I'm going to take a hit at some point on 36, probably maybe even 37, to just settle me in to the season running, just to boost my West Ham, to maybe get the likes of Alexander-Arnold, maybe boost my Leeds quota. And that will sort of settle me in, like being tucked in. I've been tucked in for the season running. But yeah, I think that's a good suggestion there. Let's move on to just to clarify again, because we've already looked at Karim and Seb's free hit team. So Karim, as we've been talking, we've already gone through your team. But have there been any thoughts about changes? You know, assuming Liverpool do get a double.
Yeah, I mean that was a fruitful scoutcast and made me think of some couple of changes. Certainly, the moves that we talked about to be more maverick, to be selecting players who will not go, and certainly Lacazette was the main guy. Was coming stronger in the equation. That would require some changes, but if Zaha is out, I might have to go for some other ways to fund, like I said, up top and go for a 4-3-3. Other than that, I still like the Mane pick. And I think the back line sort of picked themselves. The Dinia to Coleman, I don't know if I have to do that, but it just start a bit that I might do that. I might consider it because he's a good option. Goalkeeping is still up in the air as well. And lastly is about the captaincy. Now, assuming that Fernandes and Salah might be the most popular picks, I might enhance it with like additional brave decision and go for a Mane or a DCL. Mm. One of those two. I think the fact that I need something different from the free hit and I need to climb to me, 350k or 150k are the same if they are not 100k. So I feel there is a bigger opportunity, especially with Mane. He's the one that might, he's not a bad player. He had a poor season, but he's not a bad player. And against a potential double game week in Southampton and West Brom, he could be the one I might go for.
Okay.
Other than that, I think the team is settled. I think there are a couple of players that I am missing from the template, especially Kane and Son, Bale, the Spurs assets. Was a good argument from Seb that there might be an argument, a valid point to keep at least one of them.
Yeah.
And lastly, I have a feeling that Vardy is going to do well because I'm going to ship him out of my free hit team. Mm-hmm. So who knows? But yeah, I quite like where I am now.
Okay.
But I still think I'm a bit far from being ready to go for this game week. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's good. It's good. We've been given some ideas there. And Seb, I'll put your team up as well. So, you know, as we've been, you know, talking for the last hour and a half or so, have you sort of, have there been any changes you thought of? Any other players you might consider?
So I've just been messing around with it now. So let me run you through what I've got. Very much work in progress, but trying to capture some of the things we've been talking about, and also can I do Salah and Mane and Alexander-Arnold and fun things like that. So this obviously now assumes my previous one, the one on screen, is say Liverpool don't have a double. I'd probably still make a few changes that we spoke about probably about an hour ago now. So this is with Liverpool doubling and a favourable double at that. Henderson in goal with Forster on the bench. Coleman, Alexander-Arnold and Luke Shaw at the back. Salah, Fernandes, Mane and Gareth Bale in midfield. Calvert-Lewin, Iheanacho and Watkins up front. Mm. which would leave Smith Rowe on the bench, I mentioned Forster, and a defender who is 3.8 million. So possibly a non-playing defender, but for 1 week on every hit, that's fine. If I could make that work, I'd have to have a look at it. I think that's relatively impressive. You get both Mane and Salah, miss out on some Crystal Palace attack, got Fernandes in there, got Bale for that single game week versus Leeds punt, Watkins and Cavallone, which we know I want to do, Iheanacho up there as well, strong defence, Henderson and goal. I think that could work. And it has that, you know, you mentioned there, Karim, if Salah and Mane both have those attractive doubles, I think that's really quite a nice differential that most people only have one of those, if that.
No, good. It's good. That's that sounds good. I do like that Salah Mane double up, because it is so different. And it, and sometimes you have to think, as if you're free hitting, you know, what difference can you make that you know, players like me who haven't got a free hit or doing something else just won't do or can't do. And you know, we're not going to be getting Salah and Mane, and they could do really well in a double game week. So I think that's good to hear. Just a final point. Historia Films Kenya, one of my favourite posters, gives us an optimistic advice to help us keep on going after horrendous game week in brackets 21 points. Should we just do any crazy transfers to spice it up? Well, my advice is don't just keep calm, have a look at your team. If it is horrendous, make some transfers, but have a listen back, you know, do a bit of research and just think of some of those players we're thinking for the season running. Think of it this way. You've got a mini little run coming up, 4 game weeks. There's a double game weeks there somewhere. Just don't panic about it. And if you've got the likes of Vardy and Acho, Fernandes, you've got the key players, Alexander Arnold, you've got the key players coming up. So stick with that and take some punts on some of those other players. I don't know, you know, Pereira, Seamus Coleman, some of these more differential players, Mane, Salah, double up. But don't do anything too crazy, but just stick to the old, you know, tried and tested players that are well-owned and will do well. Get rid of the well-owned players that won't do well and get some nice differentials in, like Antonio and Lacazette, 4.8%. So good luck, Astoria.
I was going to say, if I could, to extend that as well. Mm. That's only talking about obviously this game week, but you know, I've had a relatively poor season, especially after such a good one last year. Mm. But the way to look at it now, I think, or the way I'm trying to look at it, is like Karim said there. You know, rank's gone. Don't worry about it. I've lost my money league, which is what I really care about. This is now next season. I'm playing next season now. I don't know, refining whatever I've done wrong. Practicing some strategy. Mm. We've got a free hit, a wild card maybe, a nice little run of fixtures coming up. You can start implementing what you want to change next season now. Start acting on it and prepare
as,
for next season.
As a pre-season, I like the analogy. As a pre-season for the next one, yeah.
If I can beat you three people in my mini league in the next 3 or 4 games, I feel good about what I'm doing next year. If I can't, I know I'm still doing something wrong that I've been doing wrong all year.
That's a really good point. So, I mean, the last few Scoutcasts have gone about unfashionable players. There's a reason behind that, is because I'm sort of planning for next year as well. I've highlighted what I think is a flaw in our play, that I've just dismissed players for whatever reason, not logical reasons. Like some people dismiss Lingard. Some people would dismiss, say, Chris Wood. You know, these players. So I've started to sort of look at those sorts of players. And so when I hear, or you know, other FPL managers talking, and they say, oh, you know, I'm not going to get so and so, and I think, well, why aren't you getting so and so? And actually, they've got really good stats. And I'm looking at them on the table, and I'm thinking, why are we ignoring? And that's why, you know, I sort of went to an extension of that by talking about Dwight Gale a couple of weeks ago. Nevertheless, he did get an attacking return the following week. But that's an example of that. So the likes of the Newcastle strikers and some of the more unfashionable picks, do have a look at them. That's just my way of looking at it. But other people will have a think of, you know, how to improve the game. Because that's what we're all about, really, trying to get a bit better at it.
Yeah. Can I add another note? Because I think this game, it was very special in terms of what happened, and a lot of people have had a poor game week. Just want to say, if you had already a clear plan and it was disrupted by the postponement of that game, I don't think it's worth changing. It can get to us emotionally, but that does not mean that you have to change anything. There was absolutely no way to predict that or to control what was going to happen. And I know a lot of managers are already loaded four, five players from these two teams. Five assets, losing five assets with a poor bench is more than enough to have a poor game week. So if you had a poor game week, just as a result of that postponement, I wouldn't panic too much, because if you look at the players who missed out that game week, they are really highly owned in every category. Fernandes, 55%, Salah, 35%, Jota, around 20%, I believe. So really, really highly owned. And it hit a lot of managers in your tier as well. The good news then, you will have a double game week. So it's good to rectify that. I sold Fernandes. I was extremely, extremely lucky to sell Fernandes for Bale. But then I have another opportunity to buy him back. So just a small example, if you don't have Salah, you don't have Fernandes, the positive side of it that you might have a chance to buy them and cover yourself or get to up to speed to where you want with your team. So that's 2 cents that I have on this. Mm-hmm. And
you know, on that, I reckon, I haven't checked this, so maybe I'm wrong, but I reckon the person who wins it this year will have played that Salah, Fernandes, Bale, Son, Kane game the best. There seems to have been 3-4 points this season where making that switch, if you've got it right, and it hasn't been random, it has been relatively predictable, has really yielded a lot of points. So I'd be interested to see how that falls at the end of the season for the people who really end up high up.
And good news, a fitting ending. Historia Films, Kenya's got back. Thank you so much, lads. And they're going to be dancing in the streets of Historia Films, Kenya. So I'm absolutely delighted with that. But before we go, I just want to remind people about the members area. That's where we've got all those lovely stats, all Opta-driven stats there. Lots of data to have a look at there. And of course, there's the gold imminent table that I have mentioned one or two times. Do check that out. If you have liked this episode, do press like. Also remember to subscribe on our YouTube channel, but also wherever you get your podcast from. But in the meantime, it's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
And good night from me.
Goodbye, all.